Thank you for tuning in to the weekly sermon from Journey of Hope. We are a welcoming community that fosters belonging and acceptance. Through ministries, we enable individuals to transform their lives as they learn to follow Jesus Christ. We follow the guidance of the Spirit in sharing our faith through missional adventures, building relationships, and offering our witness to our community and world. We are one church with multiple campuses in the Elgin and Bartlett communities. To learn more about us, you can check us out at johumc.org, our church app, or any of our social media platforms by searching Journey of Hope. And now, may you be blessed by this week's message.
Our reading is from Exodus, the sixth chapter, beginning at the first verse. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country." God also said to Moses, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself fully known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they resided as foreigners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the Israelites, 'I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord.'" Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and harsh labor. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the Israelites go out of his country." But Moses said to the Lord, "If the Israelites will not listen to me, why would Pharaoh listen to me, since I speak with faltering lips?" Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron about the Israelites and Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he commanded them to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. These were the heads of their families. The son of Reuben, the firstborn son of Israel, were Hanok and Palu, Hezron and Carmi. These were the clans of Reuben. The sons of Simeon were Jemuel, Jamin, Ohad, Jachin, Zohar, and Shaul, the son of a Canaanite woman. These were the clans of Simeon. These were the names of the sons of Levi, according to their records: Gershon, Kohath, Merari. Levi lived 137 years.
Well, welcome to the third week. Here we are in Stories, Old Testament 101, Foundations of Our Faith. As we look at some of those foundational stories that are told over and over again, stories that you heard probably as a child, that you might have heard as you were growing up, that you may have heard last year or the year before. And so we wonder if there are messages for us today in the midst of some of these stories. And so, yes, we look at some of the stories. We've already looked at Abraham, and we're looking through the stories of Joseph and Esther and now Moses. But we'll still have Esther and David and Daniel to come. But I wonder if you've already heard a new meaning for you in some of those stories. Have you heard of a new meaning for you in that story of Joseph or in the story of Abraham? Or maybe you're waiting for the story of Moses today. And what stories, what meanings that may have for you today. And so I ask that you would pray with me as we begin. Gracious and almighty God, God, thank you for calling us here. Thank you for allowing us to learn as we look at some of these old familiar stories. And so God, speak as we are listening. God, may the words that I speak no longer be my own, but they would be your words for your people. In Jesus' name, amen. And so today we find ourselves along our journey, looking at yet another epic story of an epic journey. The story of Moses. Now maybe you remember the story, maybe you don't. Maybe you've heard about this Moses guy, but you're not really sure about the story itself. I mean, there are some incredible parts to the story. And you might go, I'm not really sure if I fully believe all of this. But as I did last week, I want to give you a quick recap of the story to see where God might lead us today. So Moses is born in a time when the Pharaoh is oppressing the Hebrew people, the Israelites. And the orders were given that all sons of Hebrew women would be drowned in the Nile River. The daughters could live, but the sons would not. Oppression in a certain form. Well, Moses' mother hid her son for as long as she possibly could, but then when she knew she couldn't hide him any longer, she put him in a basket and set him floating on the Nile River, where he was picked up by the Pharaoh's daughter. A while later, many years later, Moses is out and about and witnesses an injustice, something that an Egyptian soldier did. He ends up killing that Egyptian soldier and then runs away. Now, during his time of running, Moses encounters a burning bush and receives a calling. Like many of us, he questions the calling, claiming that he can't speak real well, but God is not going to have any part of that. God's call was for Moses to go back to Egypt and tell the Pharaoh, "Let my people go." Yeah. For those of you who know that song. Of course, the Pharaoh doesn't listen right away, so in come the plagues. And I wonder if you might remember all of the plagues. It's always interesting when you get into some of the Bible trivia and you ask, what are all the plagues? And people come up with usually a few of them. I mean, water turning into blood, yes. Frogs, maybe. Gnats. There are times right now that I think that the plague of gnats are coming back. If you've ever done walking around any of the outside paths, you find that too. But flies, all the livestock dies, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, and then the death of all the firstborn sons. This, of course, leads us to the Passover story, where all of the Hebrews were told to sacrifice a lamb. They were told how to cook it. They were told how to eat the lamb. And they were also told to take some of the blood, put it on the lintel over the door of their home. That way, when the angel of death came into town, the angel would pass over the house, sparing their sons. It was only after this last and dreadful plague that the Pharaoh told Moses that he could take his people and leave. And this is just the beginning of the epic journey to the promised land. Moses leads him out of Egypt following the guidance of God, the very first GPS, the cloud that they could all see during the daytime and a pillar of fire by night. But it's not long before they run into their first obstacle, water. Walking through the desert, they might not have thought that they would have needed to carry a boat with them, but here they are on the shores of the Red Sea, not sure how to actually get across, let alone the Egyptians are getting closer and closer every day. Moses raises his hands and staff in the air, and the water parts. The journey right through on dry land, only to have the Egyptians swallowed up by the returning waters, allowing the Israelites to continue on their journey. You would think that all would be good, that the people would be happy that they were freed from their slavery, but they couldn't be farther from the truth. They start complaining. They're hungry. So God provides manna from heaven for them to eat. That was okay for a while, but then they wanted more, so God gave them quail to eat, and sometimes too much quail to eat. They complained again. They were thirsty. So God told Moses to strike a rock with his staff, and water flowed out of the rock. About this time was when Moses went up on the mountain to receive the law, the Ten Commandments. But he also received laws about how to build temples and altars, and they all got to work. Of course, in the middle of all of this was when the people decided that they wanted to worship other gods. So they built a golden calf and began to worship it. Each time they strayed from God's plan, there was a season of repentance and forgiveness. There was a time of reconciliation. Now, many of us know that Moses never made it to the Promised Land. His was a lifelong journey, always moving from one place to the next, knowing that the Promised Land was just around the next corner. But I think this is also our story. We're on this journey similar to what Moses was on. We know that God has called us to love all people, to care for all of creation, and love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But we run into obstacles along our journey. We don't feel like we have what it takes. Maybe it's our speech. Maybe our gifts or our talents. Maybe we don't think we can do it. Or maybe we don't feel worthy enough to do it. We don't feel worthy enough the calling that God has placed on our lives. Regardless, we begin to question and doubt the calling that we have. These become stumbling blocks in our faith and barriers in sharing the good news with others. We find ourselves on the shoreline, without a boat, unsure of how we are going to get across. We find ourselves wandering in the desert, longing for a drop of water to drink and maybe just some bread to eat. All hope is lost. And then we begin to wonder if we were better under the oppression of whatever it was that was controlling us before. Maybe it would be better to go back to the job where we felt unappreciated. Maybe it would be better if I stayed with that group of friends, you know, that group that would once in a while humiliate me. Maybe it would be better to return to that relationship, even if that meant returning to abuse. Maybe it would be better to return to the language and meanings we knew before. But we must see that God is always moving us forward. God does not want us to live in those spaces of oppression, of abuse, of humiliation, and unworthiness. God's desire is for reconciliation, love, and grace. God's desire is for the Promised Land. The Promised Land for us. Last week we talked a little about reconciliation, but the week before was about the journey that we are on and that we might not see or arrive at the final destination, our Promised Land. But that doesn't mean we stop striving for it. Doesn't mean we stop striving for it. Remember planting trees whose shade we will not enjoy? Moses was told that he would not get to experience this wonderful land, but that the next generation would. Abraham was also told that he wouldn't receive the land of Canaan, but his ancestors would. But that didn't stop either of them continuing to press forward. They continued to listen to God's guidance and kept moving, even if it seemed like they were wandering aimlessly about. Sometimes the church feels the same way. We feel like we're wandering through life, unsure of the direction that we're heading. There seems to be obstacles in our way, and many days, we just feel like giving up. There seems to be all these obstacles, but then we get glimpses of what the church could be. We see people gathering from all over the world, holding holy conferencing sessions, listening to one another, enacting legislation, and sharing in worship, which helps expand our understanding of God's grace. There is a wideness to God's grace and love. Now, I know I mentioned before some of the changes, but one of the changes which has not received much attention was the ability of deacons to now celebrate the sacraments in their own ministry setting. A big step in opening the doors, the wideness of God's grace and mercy. Sure, some bishops had granted this ability on a case-by-case basis, but now it's open to all deacons, regardless. It's no longer dependent on the bishops. But I also know that we have more work to do. One of the other things that was talked about was the voting rights of local licensed pastors, or LLPs. We're working on allowing this important group of ministers more voice and more leadership within the local church. However, instead of a spirit of tense debate where people simply talked at each other, there seemed to be more open dialogue. This is the hope that I have for not only the United Methodist Church, but for Journey of Hope as well. My hope and prayer is that even though we do not all think alike, that we would all love alike. That's what it means to be a community. That's what it means to be the body of Christ. That's what it means to be the church in this season. That's what it means to be a community as we approach a table. A table that unites us all. A table of communion, of Eucharist. So as we make this transition to celebrating at this table, I remind us all that this is not my table. That this is not your table. That this is God's table. And all are welcome at this table. As we get ready to go forth from this place, go forth knowing that we are Journey of Hope, that we are on a journey ourselves, that we are on this epic journey like Moses was, journeying on to the promised land, wherever that might be, but knowing that along the path we're going to run into obstacles, that those obstacles only are meant to make us stronger. God will work through all of those. But go knowing that the love of God, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit goes with us, and it goes with us always. Amen.